Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Lynn Pavelski, a member of Prairie. Prairie aspires to be an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, your sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities. Later in the service, we invite everybody for whom it's been a while since we've seen you, or if it's your first or second time, to introduce yourselves, because we'd love to get to know you a little bit better and say hi to you after the service. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, as in today, or by Sandra Ingham, our minister. Today, Jeff Burkhart will be presenting and will be introduced later on by Patty Stockdale. Our opening words today will be provided by Orin Schroeder.
The opening words today are taken from something that I wrote for a fundraiser for the Literacy Network about 6 or 7 years ago, when they used to do a readathon, a 24-hour readathon at Borders. And I was honored to participate in that in a number of years. And I did it as a top 10 list, the top 10 ways that reading and writing enrich your life. Mm-hmm. I've since learned that the Literacy Network does a lot of work with people learning how to read English specifically, rather than being actually functionally illiterate. So if you want to add the words in English to most of this, because even if you read and write in Spanish, for instance, most of the internet is in English. I mean, English has become the world language, much to the distress of the French, but that's another issue. So the top 10 ways that reading and writing English enrich your life. Number 10, winters in Wisconsin are long. A good book can carry you far away during the dark months, expanding your horizons. Number 9, in honor of my daughter Katrina, who's now a dietitian, you will probably lead a healthier lifestyle if you can read labels in the grocery store and explore new recipes in magazines and cookbooks. Number 8, reading maps and road signs gives you the freedom to go where you want to go independently.
Number 7, your spiritual life will be enriched by reading religious or self-help books or poetry, if that's your thing, and articles, and you can explore who you are, where you've been, and where you're going by writing about it. Number 6, writing allows you to communicate via letters or email with those you care about, no matter where in the world they may be. Number 5, reading opens the world of the internet to you and allows you to explore websites on endless topics.
Number 4, doing puzzles, reading books, and other literary activities help keep your mind alert as you age. Well, that's important to know. Number 3, reading to your children will give them a great head start in school, and reading is essential to gain a better education. Number 2, reading motivates you to borrow books and magazines from the library at no charge. Number 1, you need to read and write to get a job with higher pay and a brighter future.
Please welcome Paula Pachars and Carl Wacker, who light our chalice.
The chalice words are from Kofi Annan. Literacy is a bridge from misery to hope. It is a tool for daily life in modern society. It is a bulwark against poverty and a building block of development. An essential complement to investments in roads, dams, clinics, and factories.
Literacy is a platform for democratization and a vehicle for the promotion of cultural and national identity. Especially for girls and women, it is an agent of family health and nutrition. For everyone, everywhere, literacy is, along with education in general, a basic human right.
It's time to welcome Patty Stockdale up to introduce our guest speaker, Jeff.
Hi. I want to introduce Jeff Burkhart. Jeff is our executive director of the Literacy Network, where I serve on the board. I've been on the board, I think, for a little over a year now. and I serve there also as a treasurer. But I have volunteered with the Literacy Network for 7 years. I had to talk with the now a volunteer manager, and Lynn Pawlowski used to be the volunteer manager at the Literacy Network as well. So I've been there for over 7 years, and have done various forms of tutoring that the Literacy Network offers as different programs to the community. So I've been a personal tutor and worked with a Latina woman who had then been in the country for only a few years and learned English, was really motivated to learn English, to work with her, help her children, and help her in her workplace. I've also served as a tutor in a Madison College classroom. Literacy Network has a program where they place tutors in the classroom in Madison College where the teachers are teaching the English as a second language, and that was very, very interesting and stimulating because so many people came to Madison, didn't speak English, but they were from all over the world. And most recently, I've been a community tutor. I've tutored at the Dane County Parent Council, which is right in our neighborhood. Also at the Boys and Girls Club, and enjoy that very much. So I believe in its purpose. And so Jeff will be talking today about what the Literacy Network does and the value that it provides to our community. So, and I just wanted to add, too, that the Literacy Network is having its own walk on October the 19th as well. So there's literature around on your chairs, so you can take a look at that. And I'll be putting an envelope in the collection basket for the Literacy Network.
Thank you very much for having me. And thanks to Orange and to Paula, who are friends of the organization. And thanks also to Patty, Lynn. I know a lot of people here, which is great. So thanks for inviting me to come and speak about the organization. I'll tell you really briefly about how I became involved in literacy. When I was a college student, I was the first generation to go to college from my family. And I really struggled a lot with study skills and really finding my place as a student. So that first year was kind of rough for me, but I had a professor who was fantastic. And his name was Claude Cookman. I was at Indiana University. And any Hoosiers here?
What was his name?
Claude Cookman. Sorry, I'll speak slowly. Yeah. One Hoosier?
Oilmaker.
Oh. I'm sorry. So Claude was a great professor. He took me aside and said, I would love to encourage you, and I think you have a lot of potential, and really made me feel like I could take this challenge on. And so I developed a lot of better study skills. I had a lot of other professors who were really influential in that. And I graduated and did well. Actually, I was on the dean's list a few times throughout college. But then when I graduated, I thought, you know, I'd like to see what I could do to give back myself. So I volunteered as a tutor at the local literacy organization in Bloomington, Indiana. And I worked with a guy named Juan who had three kids and three jobs and really struggled tremendously to find the time to meet with me. But I could see the impact that it was having on him and in the way he thought about himself, the way he thought about his kids as well, and his ability to help them. And so I applied for an AmeriCorps position in Durham, North Carolina, where I worked for a couple of years, and I coordinated technology programs and GED classes, and just really fell in love with that kind of work. And I had a student whose name was Janie. Janie was, she had dyslexia. She struggled a lot with the GED test that she was trying to pass, high school equivalency. And she, by the time I had left, she had passed three of her tests, and I worked with her a lot to give her that confidence that she needed. And she was really proud that she had those three, but then I left and she said, you know, what am I gonna do? I don't know if I can do this. And I just really tried to encourage her. I got a letter from her about 4 months after I moved here in 2000. And it was a three-page letter, which was in and of itself pretty incredible. But she wrote to me about how she had just passed her final test. And She said, I would not have done it if you hadn't encouraged me and just really reinforced with me every time we worked together that I could do this. And she said, I'm now applying to go to the technical college to be a CNA, and I want to be a nurse someday. And my daughters are doing really well. She was also a survivor of domestic abuse, and so she had a lot of confidence and self-esteem issues that she needed to work through. So I was extraordinarily proud of her, and I've since worked with hundreds of folks throughout the community, and it's just an amazing, life-changing thing for so many people. And it's something that kind of flies under the radar as we talk about, you know, poverty, we talk about, you know, the achievement gap that we see in the schools, we talk about the Race to Equity report that has come out in the last year. And underlying all of this, I really strongly feel, is literacy. That without the basic literacy skills that are necessary, whether people are native English speakers or not, if they lack those skills, they're going to lack opportunities. There's a significant number of people in the prison system that are illiterate. And when we provide literacy education to prisoners, once they're released, there is a 16% chance that they will reoffend. If we don't do that, there's a 70% chance that they will reoffend. So literacy does literally change lives. I want to tell you a story. Actually, I want to read you a story that Berta wrote with me. This is Berta. She is one of our students and has been with us for a long time. And she visited my office just a couple of days ago. And so I was lucky to just sit down with her and our one of our staff members, Beth, to have her tell me the story. And so I transcribed the story that she spoke to me. And this is Berta's real voice. Before I found Literacy Network, my life was empty, lonely, and scary. I was pregnant at 14 years old. My husband was an alcoholic. When I came to Madison, everything was different. My apartment building was confusing, and sometimes I got lost. I was scared and shy and afraid to ask for help. I promised my children they would never be hungry again. One of my friends helped me to apply for jobs sewing, and after a few months, I got the job, but I didn't speak any English. Then I found Literacy Network. The people were friendly and helped me to get started right away. They taught me how to say things in English. But I had one obstacle in my studies, my husband. My husband didn't want me to study. He wanted me to work. But I kept studying. My husband was very angry when I went to school. Sometimes I told him I was going to go to work, but I would go to school instead. When he went out to drink, I went to school. Within a few months, my life had changed. I started to see things differently. I found friends here at Literacy Network, like Beth. She helped me build my strength. She told me that my life is first. My tutor, Dan Johnson, helped me to better understand English and to read and write. He helped me be happy. Sometimes he would play his ukulele and we would just sing when I felt sad. I felt better. I came to grow and learn and didn't have to pay for the education. Literacy Network helped me to start up, and I never in my life have had what I have here. I have best friends, and people help me, and I find my way. I am a changed person because I have the confidence and strength to pursue my dreams. Now I am separated from my husband. Now I am free. I am continuing with my school. Now I'm not scared. I can talk with people now. My dream is to learn more English, to speak better, to improve my reading and writing. I want to be a volunteer translator. I encourage my friends and neighbors to come to Literacy Network. Once you start to see the words and you know how to go into that world, you never want to come out. It also helped me to be a better parent to my children. All of them are now married, and I am a grandma. Now I have a new job. I work at KFC, and I am training to be a supervisor. Literacy Network helped me to get a start, and they gave me confidence in my skills, security. They helped me to make bigger goals for my life. So that was said through a lot of tears for all of us, as you can imagine. So that's Berta. So Berta's, we have these three kind of buckets of service that we like to talk about, you know, education, employment, and health. But for Berta, and for many of our students, we impact all of those, and her ability to just navigate life in general. I'm going to tell you a story about Corinne. Her picture will pop up here pretty soon. So Corinne was also a student with us. And she said that not being able to converse in English was no good for me or my children. I saw I wouldn't be able to help them. And she resolved that, let's see if I can get this to go now. Press the right button. There we go. There's Corinne. Sorry about that. She resolved that day that she would find a way to improve her English. A few days later, her family saw a sign as they were driving down Park Street. She said, stop, I want to stop in. This is what I need. She saw the sign that said free English classes. We're over close to Olin at Park Street. So Corinne enrolled in several classes with us. She had a tutor, and she started with our English for Health class, where our students go actually to either St. Mary's Hospital or GHC, and they learn about the healthcare system. And so Corinne says, we went to St. Mary's Hospital. That was really interesting for me. I thought I'd love to take care of people, to be able to listen, to talk with someone, to help them with their health. That seemed like work that would give me the happiest life. And then with the help of her tutor, Corinne applied for and then graduated from the CNA program, Certified Nursing Assistant program, at Madison College. She soon after that got a job at Attic Angel Society, and she's been working there for the past couple of years. And she says that without the support of her tutor, she would not have even known about how to apply for the program. And without the English for Health class, she most likely would not have even thought about herself as somebody who could work in healthcare. So she got to know a lot of folks in the hospital as a result. She said, I'm still studying so that I can become a nurse. I am so happy the people at Literacy Network introduced me to healthcare. And she's holding an award, actually. You probably can't really read it. But it's from Wisconsin Literacy, which is a statewide organization. And it's the Outstanding Learner on a Career Pathway. So we nominated her for that award, and she gave a speech in Appleton to about 600 people that thanked her tutor and the organization for her work. So these are just a couple of the stories. Corinne is obviously a very exceptional person. She has six kids. She has a lot of things going on in her life. And she also is very motivated. And she said, you know, just stick to your goals, take it one at a time. She always felt like she would have a setback, but she would continue to work hard. And she had that kind of natural inclination to do that. But a lot of our students have those dreams. They have that desire to really improve their lives and find better jobs. And a person like Corinne, who speaks four languages, and then learned English. You know, she's from Madagascar, and she lived in France for a while. So she speaks a couple of different languages. And a person like her can very easily pick up a new language because she already has that sort of roadmap for language. But a lot of our students don't have that because they don't have very good educations from their home country, such as Berta. Berta stopped school when she became pregnant. At 14. So a lot of our students experience that kind of challenge. So at Literacy Network, we understand that one in seven adults in Dane County needs literacy help. That's about 55,000 adults. So that's folks who are either learning English or struggled in school. And some people even have graduated from high school but read at a second or a third grade level. So we work with folks from a couple of different types of backgrounds. People from all over the world come to Literacy Network. We work with 1,158 people in 2013. And a lot of the work that we do is with volunteers, of course, as Patty mentioned. Patty's been a loyal volunteer in our community literacy program at the Dane County Parent Council. And that program has folks coming in every week, volunteers that come in to dedicate their time. And we have programs like that throughout Madison. We have 20 different locations where we offer programs. And we're so proud of the volunteer program that we have actually a waiting list for volunteers now, which is fantastic. So people come to us wanting to volunteer and we say, sorry, you're gonna have to wait till next semester. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is that we're doing a much better job now of retaining volunteers. So we had a 60% retention rate for volunteers last year. And we did that because we really looked at the data and tried to figure out what we could do to help keep more of our tutors, because it's time consuming and expensive for us to train new people every year. So we asked our tutors, what will help you to feel like you're doing a better job and stick with us? And they said, give us more training and make sure that it's relevant to us. So we've really invested a lot of time into creating a solid training program that's not only training up front, but also training that's on an ongoing basis. So we have in-services that we offer about 6 to 7 times a year. And we also have started a just-in-time tutor training model, which means that people get an initial training of about 3 to 4 hours, and then we match them. We'll match them with a learner, and they get to meet that person, and they get to think about what their goals are and talk to them about those goals. And then we give them more training. We say, okay, now you've met your learner, what do you think they're going to need? And we try and give them as much of that as we can up front before they really start digging into the lessons. Another thing that we've done to really retain volunteers is we've made it easier for volunteers to spend their time. So the program that Patty is in, we have interns who help. We have staff who help with the lessons as well. So the lessons, when Patty goes to tutor, the lesson is prepared for her, and she sits down and works with the learner and then gives us feedback on what happened during that lesson and whether it was successful or not. So the intern gets that feedback. So we're able to really support the learners and the volunteers at the same time as a result. So let's go forward instead of backward. In the United States, we know that this is a major issue. Literacy affects 90 million adults throughout the country. Of the people who struggle with low literacy, a significant number are living in poverty, 42%. This is the national stat. I really don't know what the stats are locally, because nobody has done a study like this in Dane County, exactly. But if you were to read the Race to Equity report that came out from the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, you will see that a lot of the things that are talked about are job skills, and if we even go back further, more elementally, my belief is certainly it's reading and writing skills that affect a lot of people. And I know this from personal experience, from working with people. I worked at the Dane County Job Center, where we had 700 or 800 people in the W-2 system, the Wisconsin Works Welfare Program. And a vast majority of those folks really struggle with the reading and writing skills that they need to apply for a job, to fill out a healthcare form, to do basic elemental things that you would need to do to succeed in a workplace. So we know that this is a major issue in our community. This is our mission. It's kind of a lengthy mission statement, but we teach reading, writing, and speaking skills to Dane County adults for 3 primary reasons. To help them to achieve financial independence, good health, and greater involvement in community life. These are the three primary areas of service: employment, education, and health. In the employment area, I mentioned to you about 1 in 7 adults lacks the basic skills that they need to support their families. In the education area, we know that parents are a child's first teacher. We know that a child's educational success depends primarily on the literacy level of his or her mother. And then in the health area, about $465 million is lost each year because people don't understand directions that are being given to them by the healthcare system, either from their doctor or in writing from the health insurance company. There are a lot of challenges that people face. We estimate that about 40,000 people in Dane County alone struggle with low health literacy. We have basic computer classes that we offer. These classes are full each week, so we know that not only reading and writing skills, but also computer skills are necessary for folks to move ahead. Our learners have the goals of improving their reading and writing skills so that they can do better at their job, find citizenship, help with their children's learning, and to improve their health. As I mentioned, last year we had 1,158 adult learners in our programs who studied more than 33,000 hours. Our programs are throughout Dane County, so you can see we have a few kind of more outlying areas. We have a program in Verona, we have a program up there in Marshall as well, and then a lot of programs in the central city as well. So we have a few different outreach programs that we do throughout the year. This is Catalina, who is a student with us and is working on her job skills at La Movida Services. La Movida is just a few blocks down from us on South Park Street. Catalina is basically a customer service representative, and she helps people who speak Spanish to provide a lot of different services, whether it be sending money to their family, figuring out how to pay a phone bill or utility bill. And so she has to kind of negotiate things in Spanish and in English. So she's worked on really specific job skills with us. And sorry, it looks like it might have cut off there. So they come into her work to pay their bills, is what she says here. So she's helping them to negotiate that. Gabina is an entrepreneur. She makes dresses for quinceañera parties. And she is raising 4 kids, and she's studying for her GED, and she's been working with her tutor, John, for the last 4 or 5 years on improving her skills, understanding how to invoice people, understanding how to communicate with English-speaking customers as well. But she's a very hard worker, and she's very much like a lot of our students in that she works many hours, and this is a family business, so her husband is also involved in getting the materials that are necessary and then shipping the dresses out. This is Guadalupe. Guadalupe has a tutor who actually comes to her home on a regular basis, and she said that she needs English for a lot of different reasons, including at school when she's working with her kids' teachers. They speak in English, she needs to be able to communicate back to them in English. And when she goes to the hospital, sometimes if she needs an interpreter, there's not one available. So she knows that if she has improved English, she will be able to better communicate and understand her health better. And then Kumba studies and works at a hotel. She studies at Madison College. She's been working with us for a long time. She actually started a service group. She is from Senegal. So she's helping people who come from Africa to sort of integrate and better understand American culture. And she also has said to us that when guests speak to her at the hotel, she needs to be able to reply back to them. So that's how she uses her English on a regular basis, so that she understands what they're talking about. Our volunteers, in 2013, we had 897 trained volunteers who spent about 32,000 hours working with us. Now our annual budget is, as Patty knows, our treasurer, is about $640,000 from last year. The value of our volunteers exceeds the total financial contributions to the organization from last year. So we more than double the impact with the volunteers that we have. I'll I'll talk to you really briefly about what we're doing with health literacy. In Dane County alone, $465 million is lost due to low health literacy each year. How does that happen? One of the reasons is if somebody goes to the doctor and they get an after visit summary that's on paper, how many of you read that? How many of you understand it well? I worked with a doctor a couple of years ago who said, you know, I get an after visit summary as a patient and I never read it because I can't understand it. Doctors have said this. So it is complicated information often that we're giving to folks. So if you have low literacy, it's going to cause even more problems. Many of our students have told us that they saved up their own money to go back to their home country once a year and go to the doctor and get all the medications that they would need so that they wouldn't have to go to the doctor here in the United States because it is so scary for them. And maybe it's less expensive to see the doctor, even if you include the health, the travel expenses. Other reasons are people would use the emergency room inappropriately. So a lot of folks think that you can use the emergency room as your primary health care if you don't have health insurance, and then you don't have to pay for it, which is not necessarily true. And so this is a very expensive proposition for our health care system. Patients with low health literacy are less likely to understand written instructions. They're less likely to use preventive care. They're less likely to be a part of their care. They ask questions. They're more likely to go to the emergency room and to be hospitalized as well. So I'll tell you just a bit about the programs that we offer. So we have a program that's called English for Health that's in St. Mary's Hospital and GHC. This program started out of a real need from a student. One of our students came to us and said, I would like to be able to communicate with my doctor, and I don't have the ability to really do that. And I'm really scared of going to the doctor. So our staff member, Beth, created this program. We initially had it in a church basement over at the Catholic Multicultural Center. And we created a mock clinic where people had to call in and make an appointment and go through the whole clinic visit. And we had a couple of volunteers from St. Mary's Hospital. And the students loved the program. They thought it was really helpful to them. And they asked Beth if she could do it in a hospital instead of in a basement. And I said, I don't know, because I'd worked in a hospital and I didn't think it was very likely that a hospital would welcome us to do this. It was a 12-week class. But we talked to the folks at St. Mary's and they said we absolutely would love to do that. And they made space for us, and now 5 years later, we have the program at St. Mary's Hospital. And it's also at GHC. It's an award-winning program. We received the Madison-Dane County Public Health Award this year and have received accolades from the state of Wisconsin and have presented in multiple different settings and conferences. So the program is, it's a unique program because it is in a hospital and a clinic, and it is very helpful to our students. Our students are learning about how to find a doctor, how to use medications, and how to navigate the healthcare system. They get a chance to practice their skills with real members of the healthcare community. We're seeing that almost all of our students have increased their healthcare knowledge, their practices of good health. They're feeling much more comfortable in the environment of care as well. And they're learning about healthcare options. Juana learned how to get her flu shot. She never thought that the flu shots were safe before, but after going through English for Health, she and her family are now getting their flu shots regularly. Amal was one of the students who went to her home country regularly. While she was in the class, she became pregnant, and she learned about the importance of prenatal care, and she got a primary care physician as a result. And she then felt a lot more comfortable because she had the support of the teacher in the class. And this is Berta again, who we saw earlier. Berta advocated for herself. She asked questions in English of a pharmacist and felt much more confident that she was getting what she needed because of the program. So as an organization, We are moving forward with increasing our student services support, improving technology programs, because we know that's such an important thing, deepening our partnerships with many different organizations. As you saw, we have 20 different locations, but really helping to be more a part of each of these different elements, playing much more of a strong role in the employment training area, working very closely with the United Way of Dane County on some major initiatives. And we're starting some innovative workplace education programs right now. We need to be doing more of this because we know that this is such a great need in our community. And I just skipped over my last slide, but I would love to invite you to be a part of the work that we're doing. So if you're interested in at all in learning more, I did hand out a sheet that gives you some basic information. You can call me, and I would be happy to speak with you afterwards as well. We always do have volunteer opportunities, even though for tutoring we have a wait list right now. There's a lot of different things that we have going on at the organization, and I would love to talk to you about ways that you could get involved. So I'll be sticking around and answering questions if you have them. Thanks.
Don't go too far yet. I'd say thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate your presentation. We do have, maybe we don't really have time, but we're going to take time for like one or two quick questions and answers. And yeah, like Jeff said, he'll stick around. So
the reading and writing skills and the GED test has gotten a lot harder just recently. And so we're really worried about folks who are interested in getting their GED just completely not going after it, because it has increased in difficulty over the last year.
Thanks a ton.
Thank you all very much.
And Dan's just going to stay right up here to share our closing words.
Literacy. Literacy is the road to human progress and the means through which every man, woman, and child can realize his or her full potential.
Thanks everybody for coming today. Please extend a hand of friendship, stay for some coffee, and introduce yourself to our guests, and have a great day. Thanks.